told Chuck the wrong chapter. It's one chapter over, one page. Got it? Okay. Amen. All right, out of respect for God's word, let's stand, shall we? Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray now that we might get something out of this message today that we can use in our own lives. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in our fast-paced life today, there just doesn't seem that there's any extra time, is there? You know, we get up in the morning, we get dressed, we go to work, we work all day until quitting time, more until everything gets done. And then we turn around, we come back home in hopes that maybe someone had a less stressful day than we did, and supper is waiting for us when we get home, amen? We eat dinner, we go in, we plop our tired... You recognize that? Yeah. We plop our tired keisters down and we watch about an hour of TV. Finally, we say, you know what? Why should I sleep here when I can sleep in bed? We go get ready for bed, crawl in bed, and the next day we start it all over again. You know, it seems like with our fast-paced life and how busy we are trying to make ends meet we have no room in our lives for the Lord. You know, I want to look at just a portion of the scripture that I read this morning, and that's in verse 7. It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, for there was no room for him in the inn." I want to look this morning at no room. No room. You know, there was no room for Jesus at his birth. In Luke, in verse 7, it says that there was no room for him in the inn. There was no place in the little town of Bethlehem for a 9-month pregnant woman to have any place to lay down. You know, there was no room for them, for her to have her firstborn son. There was no room, no one had any room at all for this mother who was about to give birth to her first child. There was no room at the Holiday Inn. There was no place other than a lowly stable for this young woman to have her baby. Now just think about this for a minute. Mary and Joseph left Galilee and went from Galilee to Bethlehem, which is about a 35 or 40 mile trip. 3 days. 3-day trip, one way. Now think about this, ladies. She's 9 months pregnant. And they put her on a horse. Yippee-ki-yay! Right? Now, I don't know, I've never been pregnant, I have no idea what it's like, but I do not feel that a 9-month pregnant woman would want to ride a horse 3 days. Amen? You know, I mean, let's face it, I don't care how smooth if the going is, there's going to be bumps, amen? There's going to be chuck holes at that horse is either going to have to go through or go around in order to make it. But for 3 days, she rode on that donkey. They get to Bethlehem. They go up and down the streets of Bethlehem trying to find somewhere to stay. They finally go to the inn, the last place there is, down the street. Knock on the door. The innkeeper comes. "Sir, do you have a room? My wife is about to give birth." Now, I don't know if I'm just, you know, thinking to myself, all right? And sometimes when I think to myself, it's not good. Now, could it be that maybe she was having contractions? Could it be maybe she was in labor? Could it be that the jostling of the donkey caused her to start the birth process? I can see Joseph going up to this innkeeper. "Sir, do you have a room for us? My wife is about to have a child. She is in labor." Or he goes up there, "Listen, buddy, I need a room. You got one for me?" I think if he had done that, he might have had a room for him. Amen? But you know what? There was no room. No room for the Lord at his birth. There was no room in the inn. There was no room in anybody's houses. There was no room there. If only the people would have known who he was, then what was going to be born that night, they may have been able to have some room. You know, only the animals made room for the little baby to be born. You know, I can imagine what the cow said. Can you imagine that? "You want to use my what? For what? I eat out of that, and you're going to have a baby in there?" I don't think so. No. You know what I think? I think the animals knew who was going to be born that night. I believe that those animals were doing everything they could possibly do to make that stable as comfortable as it could possibly be. In fact, when Joseph used that manger as a crib, I don't think the animals came over to eat out of that crib that night. What do you think? I don't think Joseph had to chase them away. I believe that they all just kind of went around it because they knew who was laying there. They knew who had been born in their lowly stable. There was no room when Jesus came into this world that he could call his home. But you know, there is no room also for him to lay his head. In Luke chapter 9, verse 58, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." You know, all through the ministry of the Lord, there was nowhere that he could call home. Nowhere. Oh yeah, he was from Nazareth. But I don't believe that Mary and Joseph ever had a house that they called their own in Nazareth. I don't believe that. Even though Jesus was from Nazareth, he couldn't call it home because they wanted to kill him there. In Luke chapter 4, verses 28 and 29, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill, whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." They wanted to throw him over the edge of the cliff. There was found no room for him in his own homeland. The people didn't want to know who he was. They felt he was just the son of Joseph and Mary, common people. After all, Joseph was just a carpenter. A common carpenter. They had no idea that this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He had nowhere to call home, no place to lay his head. You know, even though Jesus was from Nazareth, there was nowhere ever does it state that Mary and Joseph had a house in Nazareth. Oh, he was raised there. Jesus was by himself when he went to get baptized. Did you know that? Read the account of Jesus being baptized, and he's walking along the road by himself. And he sees John baptizing in the Jordan River. And he walked over, and what did John say? Behold, the Son of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Wow. He was by himself. Was he by himself, though, when he got baptized? What does the Bible say? When he went under the water and came out, a dove landed upon him, which was the what? Holy Spirit. And then there was a voice from heaven that said, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, think of that. Father, Son, and Spirit, all at the same place at the same time when Jesus was baptized. But there was no human there with him, just John the Baptist. He was by himself. There was no room for him among people. Jesus was by himself. There was no room in anyone's family for Jesus until he started his earthly ministry. No one wanted him in their lives. You know, there was no room when he was buried. There's no room when he is buried. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 60, it says, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. When Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus begged the body of Christ. They took him off the cross. They embalmed him the best they could, and they put him into a borrowed tomb. Now, back in the days of Jesus, most everyone had a sepulchre or a tomb or a grave site where they would be buried. There was many family plots back then. You know, it'd be like Chuck and his dad and his mom and his brother and his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. And anyway, you didn't know you had that much family, did you? But you know, that's the way it was. You know, you go to graveyards and you look 50 years ago, you'll see family plots. Yeah, you'll see, I mean, everybody in the family is buried in the same spot. Today, it isn't that way. You know, one buried in Arizona, one buried in Wisconsin, one buried in Michigan, one buried... I mean, they're all over the place. But that wasn't the way it was back then. You know, this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about Jacob, talking about Rachel, and where Rachel was buried. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Think of that. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I brought the two in together, and if you think of it, the mother of the Savior of Israel was buried in Bethlehem, and the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem. Wow! What a parallelization! You know, and I didn't really bring the two together about Jacob and Joseph until this morning. Do you know Jacob was the firstborn? That's why he got a double blessing. He was the firstborn of Jacob and the one he loved, Rachel. Even though Reuben was the firstborn of Leah, it was not the firstborn of Jacob and Rachel. What we need to realize is this. God had everything pre-planned. Even though there was no burial place for the Lord, God made a place. You know, there's only one man who would step up to the plate and beg the body of the Savior, and that was Joseph of Arimathea. He was the only one who made room for the Lord's body. Joseph made room even though no one else would make room for a crucified man. There's no man who, even though Jesus had done all these miracles, even though he had caused the blind to see, he caused the lame to walk, he caused the dead to rise, no one other than Joseph of Arimathea gave their tomb to a crucified man. After all, a person who was crucified, they were banished. That was the worst death that a person could do. That was the worst punishment ever put on a person, was to be crucified. After all Jesus did for all those around him, even his disciples would not find a place for him to be buried. But you know what? I also saw that there was no room for him in their hearts. No room for Jesus in their hearts. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. There are many who heard his preaching and teaching and saw the miracles that he did. There was many that heard, "You must be born again." There were many who saw everything that Jesus did. They agreed totally with what he said. However, they had no room in their hearts. In John 1:11 it says, "And he came unto his own, and his own received him not." Jesus will not force himself on anybody. Did you know that? Jesus will not force himself on anybody. He does not force someone to get saved. Did you know that? He doesn't. He doesn't stand there, grab you around the neck, and say, "You've got to accept me as your Savior." You know that? He doesn't do that. What does he do? He stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door and knocks. Whoever will open the door and let him in, he will come into them and he will sup with them. He will be with them forever. But you know what? There's an awful lot of people today. We're just standing there. He's knocking. But he says, "You know, I don't have room for you. My heart is so full of the world that I have no room in my heart for you." You know, there's an awful lot of people like that today. If there wasn't, this place would be full today on Christmas Eve Sunday. You know, I'll bet you $10 I can go over to Walmart right now and the parking lot's full. I'll bet the parking lot is jam-packed. I went shopping yesterday, which was the first mistake. I'll tell you what, you know, how many of you ever went shopping on Black Friday before? Do you love it? I hate it. It was worse yesterday than Black Friday, believe me. I walked into, we went into Sportsman's Warehouse, and usually Sportsman's Warehouse, there aren't too many people in there, but the place was packed. There was no grocery carts, no nothing. The lines, they had all the registers open, and the lines were down the aisles waiting to get checked out. I walked in, I looked, I turned around, walked right back out again. I said, there ain't no way, none, I'm going in here. So I had to go to Walmart last night to get a prescription. So I went in, and there was nobody at the pharmacy. I thought, man, this is cool. Went up, gave them my prescription. They said, we'll have it done in 15 minutes. We don't have any in front of you. I said, great. So I said, well, I'll just stick around for 15 minutes. I'm walking in Walmart. It was crazy. All of a sudden, I'm standing looking, and this woman comes, wham! She hits me with her cart, and I go, excuse me? She goes, get the out of my way! I looked at her, and I said, well, Merry Christmas to you, too! Yeah. But you know what? I mean, it was there was one of the Walmart associates that was standing behind me. I said, it's been like this all day. He goes, oh, man. He says, you know what? He says, I've been here for 5 or 6 years. And he says, I'll tell you what. He says, Black Friday is nothing compared to what it was today. He says, it was insane. He says, it was crazy. He says, people are so rude, it's unreal. He says, I want to go home. I said, yeah, me too. I got to wait for my prescription. But listen, people don't have any room in their heart for the Lord. Why? Because they are so commercialized today that they have no room whatsoever for Jesus. I had a call this morning from Reuben. I gave him my card the other day. And a young man came in, and he had to do some community service, and I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord on Friday when he was here. And I told him to come to church. He says, well, he says, I can't make it. He says, I got to go in early today to work because, he says, it was so crazy yesterday that, he says, I got to go in early today. They told us all we had to be in at 10 o'clock this morning, so I can't be in church today. But he called to let me know that he wasn't going to be here today. I thought that was really nice. So he's going to try to make it tonight. But, you know, people just don't have any room in their hearts anymore for the Lord. You know, they always have an excuse, and they'll use their friends, they'll use their relatives, they'll use all kinds of things. Why? They have no room for the Lord. You know, I get really upset with churches who give excuses why they cannot have a Christmas service. And I'll be honest with you, I was so angry that I would have liked to grab a hold of this preacher and choked him if I could have got a hold of him. My daughter called last night and she said, oh, we're not having church tomorrow. And I said, what? She goes, we're not having church tomorrow. I said, why not? Well, our song director's not going to be there. I said, so what? I said, is the preacher there? She goes, yeah. I said, then you better be having church. Well, who's going to lead? I said, if you can't get up and lead singing, something's wrong. The song director's gone, so we can't have church. I talked to another preacher this morning when I was at when I went to get donuts for Sunday school, and him and I, we were talking. I said, you got church today? He says, yeah. I said, is your worship team going to be there? He goes, no. I said, what are you going to do? You might as well close the doors. Your worship team's not going to be there. He says, have you ever heard of YouTube? I said, what? He goes, yeah. He says, I'm playing it on YouTube. He says, they got some really good worship teams on YouTube. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm sure glad we don't have worship teams. Amen. You know, I was so disgusted today. It broke my heart. People have no room for the Lord in their lives? None. You know, what is going to happen when they stand before God and have to give an account? Well, do you remember on Christmas Eve 2017 when you said your song leader couldn't make it, so you closed the doors of the church? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be that preacher. I don't want to be that preacher. My daughter said, well, Dad, there's an awful lot of people gone. I said, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people gone in my church service this Sunday, too. I don't care if there'd only been 5 people here today. We'd have had church! You know, I'll tell you what. I'm tired of these so-called churches that feel they have to have crowds in order to have church. The Bible says where 2 or more are gathered in my name, I am in their presence. Oh, man. You know, once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, once we understand our sin state, there's a penalty for our sin, that Jesus paid our penalty, and that we accept Him as Lord and Savior, then we need to try our hardest to live every day for Him. Try to lead as many as we possibly can, while we can, to Him. We need to confess Him before men as He confesses us before His Father. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? Satan standing there and going, hey, what about Pastor so-and-so? He closed his church on Christmas Eve morning. What about him? And Satan's doing that. Satan is our great accuser. And he's standing there saying, what about him? And here's Jesus, having to make right what he did wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, it's scary. It's scary. And you know, we have church after church after church after church doing that today. It's no wonder so many churches are closing their doors, because we've got preachers who do not want to preach. You know, there's none of us in this room who are going to live a perfect life once we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Our old nature is going to take over from time to time. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall back into sin. However, we've got the promise. We can confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We first have to give Him room in our hearts, though, don't we? We first have to give Him the room that He wants to operate. And if we would only do that, we can fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit. We can get all of the junk and stuff that we used to have fill us out, and we're going to have a Spirit-filled life from there on out. No room for the Savior. There was no room at His birth. There was no room for Him to lay His head. There was no room for His burial. There was no room in their hearts. Where are you this Christmas season? Do you have room for the Savior? You know, we're all given the same opportunity to receive the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you willing to give Him the room that He wants in your life and do what He's called you to do? If Jesus would come to you right now, would you have room in your home for Him? You know, there's many homes today that I think if Jesus came and knocked on the door, they would say, I'm sorry, you got to wait until I clean out everything. Let me get my movies out of here. Let me get the stuff out of the cupboard out of here. Let me get this out of here. Let me get... Before I'll let you in. Have you room in your mind for Him? What are our thoughts? What do you think about most of the day? What's your thought pattern? Most of all, do you have room in your heart for Him? Do you have a heart passion for the Savior? You know, this Christmas season, we need to make room for the Savior. We need to make room for the one that came to save us from our sins. Do you have that room today? Do you have that room today? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I just...